This is an episode which we feel like we've wanted to do for ages, but we'll be honest that we really struggled to hear from and get enough men to share their story. And we've wanted to kind of really tap into this world to understand better as presenters, as member, as consultant, as humans, what are some of the issues facing men. And Anna, like, the stories that we're sharing today are amazing. They're just amazing humans. Forget the fact that they're men, they're just amazing humans for everybody to hear.
Their dedication, their perseverance, their, I don't know, their creativity is just outstanding. I'm blown away.
Yep. We've got an interview to share with Man of the Year 2020. How did he do it? What was his life like before? What is his life like now? And what advice has he got to anybody, somebody who is feeling very lost right now, not sure where to turn, not sure what to expect? It's one that you definitely want to tune in, stay with us and listen through right to the very end. Welcome to Slimming World Podcast. Right now, we are going to insert some beautiful music made by some four-string tiny wooden guitars. So welcome to podcast. I'm Claire.
Oh, we're just called podcast now.
Slimming.
What I mean was
Slimming World Podcast. I'm just like on a podcast
welcome
racehorse
to
here.
Podcast.
Welcome to the podcast is probably what I meant to say. This is a great start. I just really bigged up the episode in the teaser and then crash it down within the first 5 minutes. Look, basically, we are officially sponsored by Slimming World, but this is a podcast that we started when we kind of began this journey 2 years ago, and we're now over 100 episodes, where we just wanted to find a space where we talked about what is it like to be in the trenches when you are losing weight. Like, some of the things you're thinking, some of the things you're struggling with. And it's been such a great journey to connect with other people and hear, how did they do it? That's what kind of keeps me intrigued and curious about continuing to do this podcast, Anna. I hope it's the same for you.
No, it is actually. I am quite intrigued and curious. And I just, you know, been doing this for an awful long time, but I just love hearing people's journeys and stories. It just, and what they've overcome and their little kind of tips. It just inspires me to be a better slimmer, a better consultant, and also sometimes just not wallowing in my own self-pity about how difficult my journey is. Because I think we all, and this is no disrespect to anyone, and but we all have a case of, oh, it's really hard for me. And I'm not doubting it is hard. But when you hear what other people have overcome, you go, oh, right, it's not that hard for me right now. So, yeah, I think it's really inspiring to hear other people's stories.
Yeah, and to kind of open up, right, because we can often be led to assume that Slimming World groups, when you turn up, is just a room full of women having a little natter, and yeah, that there aren't really much men involved. And in actual fact, like, pretty much every group that I've been to has had at least a man, maybe more, if we're, you know, being honest.
Yeah, we've got male consultants, you know, I think it's a... It's almost a stereotype that's been carved out in the media, isn't it? Like, this is for women only, and you're going to be the token man, and you're going to be made to feel really uncomfortable because then you talk about periods and women's things. And actually, you will get groups that have got a really large amount of men. You'll get some groups that only have a couple, but there is such a broad mix that I think it's a really inclusive environment if you choose to seek it out.
So here's the thing, as a podcast, we hold our hands up and say that we've only ever had one man actually that we've interviewed on our series in the last couple of years. Not for want for trying, we have to be honest.
No, we tried.
So we have been banging doors down for the last few months and asking and talking to. And a lot of times, you know, guys, that our DMs are open, that you can send us messages at Slimming World Podcast. We are communicating with a lot of you privately because you don't want to talk to us openly. And that's completely fine. We've got our email as well, slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. But we wanted to kind of say, right, what is it like to be a guy losing weight? Like, what hurdles are guys facing right now? And how has their life changed? What are some of the issues that they're finding when they come and join Slimmer World? And how has that turned around? And so we thought, well, you know, what better way to kind of capture the story of Man of the Year 2020 and hear his view? But also we've got loads of different stories of guys sharing their thoughts. But Anna, you know that I love a good geek and a good stat.
You never.
I love a bit of research.
Do you? Were you a journalist? Are you a journalist? Never.
Well, I actually thought to myself, I just want to go and see what the picture is like. Because every time, you know, as a female member, maybe I see that other members who are women go to group and get a bit annoyed at blokes. Like, God, you just turn up and you lose weight so easy and you win all the awards. You get slimmer of the week, slimmer of the month. Like, will you just do one? Here I am struggling. It's like, it can become like an us versus them, right? And I was like, I just need to knock that on the head and I need to look at what is the reality. So I went to the government website, which publishes stats on obesity, and it updates them regularly-ish. But it happened to be that they put a new report out in the beginning of January this year. And I had to say, I was horrified reading this. I went and kind of spoke to Matt and said, do you find this surprising? I've been talking to my friends, like, do you find this shocking? Because I had not realised that in most age groups, men are more likely than women to be overweight or obese. Mm. And I had often thought, oh, isn't it just women who are always on diets? Women who struggle with their weight. Absolute rubbish. And actually, among men aged 45 to 74, so 45 to 74, over 80% of men in that age category are overweight or obese. 80%. So I was like, wow, this is a big problem. Like, why do I not know that? Why am I not getting into that mindset? So me as a woman, as a female member slimmer of Slimming World, I was like, wow, I actually have to really respect a lot more that, yeah, the guys might be losing weight sometimes a bit quicker. Maybe they're just nailing it more than I am or whatever it is. But I need to kind of be like, yeah, they've got a valid place in this group and we need to do more to support the men in our lives, older, younger, sideways, whatever. Men and women struggle with their weight. If, like, in fact, men struggle more is what the statistics say.
And I think there's different pressures, aren't there? There's different pressures on women to look a certain way. There are pressures, I think, as in the last 20 years, it's changed massively in terms of younger men and the way they look and the way they feel. But I think what we've got to remember is obesity, weight gain, weight struggle, weight loss isn't gender selective. It is there and can be anyone's problem. And what we've got to make sure is that we're helping whoever is struggling with it manage it and putting down any barriers that may stop them getting the support. You know, the thought of a guy being scared to walk through the doors of my Slim World because he's a man is something I want to kind of eradicate. Like, I had the fear of the Slim World group, and it wasn't because I was a woman, it was because I didn't want to admit how much weight I had to lose and the things I had to change. Really kind of breaking down that area, that stereotype, that fear, knowing at Slimming World, you're going to walk into a group. And you know what? It may be a group that only has another man in it, or you may be the first man in that group, but we will endeavour to do whatever we can to make you feel supported and included. That is something I try desperately, desperately hard to do in my groups. And I know my colleagues are really, really fighting for.
See, Slimming World did a report a few years ago called the Machobesity Report.
Yeah.
I see what they did there. That's actually quite clever, isn't it? Match obesity. It was in 2016, so it's 5 years old, but I think it still rings true. Like, you can Google this. I'm not a consultant. I don't have special powers. This stuff is available online if you wish to Google. And the report talks about the process that most men go through when they are looking to lose weight. The fact that the average delay for men to seek help is 6 years.
That's astonishing. That really shocked me. More than 80% of men being overweight.
But the cost of that, that's actually three times longer than women. And the cost of that, because then, you know, we start seeing the health complications that happen as you take longer to deal with it.
Deal with it, yeah.
The other process is most overweight men say they want to lose weight, but there's a cultural expectation that men should consume like all this processed food and be, you know, fast foods and drink lots. But that doesn't kind of mirror with like then when you want to lose weight. And also, I suppose, like that men are under pressure not to kind of say or they don't want to kind of admit that I need help. Like they should be able to deal with themselves. So they try and fix it themselves. They hit the Google, they turn to exercise. But of course, if you're way more, you're going to struggle perhaps with doing the exercise that you wish that you could, which could mean that you could become injured. But if you haven't changed your eating habits, then even when you lose the weight eventually, then do you find yourself, you're back in the yo-yo position because you put the weight back on because you go straight back into the bad eating habits. So it becomes a vicious circle. And to think that a lot of men are having to go through that process on their own, in their own heads, because of perhaps shame or guilt, is really sad. 6 years like of kind of thinking, I need to do something about this. That's an incredible burden and weight to carry on yourself.
Yeah, and I think it's that thing of like exercise being socially acceptable, but joining a weight loss club or organisation isn't. In that report, it said that 72% of overweight men see physical activity as something that's acceptable when they're trying to lose weight. So it's about, and that, I think that comes from school and growing up, and it's about kind of addressing that balance. You're a human being, you're struggling with your weight, you need some support, you know, let's try and help you through that. Because, you know, my lovely hubby has lost a considerable amount of weight, and he never went to a group, but he food optimized. And the reason he did that is because he likes food and he didn't want to be hungry and he wanted his big portions. It can be that comfort that maybe they're looking for. And because, you know, I think a lot of men still think, and a lot of women, that to lose weight, I've got to eat lettuce and I've got to drink water and I've got to feel crap. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be that way, does it? It really doesn't.
No. I mean, we're going to hear from Jason in a moment, who's Slimming World's Man of the Year 2020. He lost half his body weight. He's a truck driver. So he talks about how he managed to food optimize on the road. But let's just kind of come to some of the stories that some of you fellas have been sharing with us. Matthew says his why in his support crew is all about his wife, who's totally on board with him. Hello to Simon and his tiddlers, a long, big, crazy fan of our podcast who loves sending us videos. Thank you, Simon. Hello to Davey from Davey's World, who's been listening to us and messaging us since the early days. Glyn, also known as Kempy, he's hit target, lost his mojo, now struggling to get back to target. Snacking catches him out. He's 2 stone, 8 pound lighter, though. Wow. And that's thanks to his consultant, Julie, who he and her have been sticking with it 17 months now.
Wow. Lovely Lee. Lee was a free-to-go member. He joined when he was 12 because his PE teacher was worried about him. And he now listens while he's driving his van for work. I love that. And Billy said, don't make the mistake I made by assuming it would be a group full of women. Group is actually a very diverse place and I don't feel out of place.
See, now Mark sent us an email which was appropriately titled, It's Raining Men.
It's Raining Men, hallelujah.
It caught our attention, Mark. Anyway, he listens whilst doing his lockdown walks. As far as he can remember, he's always been on a slimming journey. He's lost, he's gained, he's lost, he's gained. But crucially, he realises now it was because he wasn't really changing his lifestyle habits. His hurdle, he says, he admits to using ankle and back injuries as an excuse to binge, of having an all or nothing approach. Sometimes he does better with restriction when losing weight, but that doesn't really help in producing long-term sustainable eating habits. He also recognised he was using Slimming World as more of a social activity on a Saturday morning, something to do for an hour that day. Perhaps he wasn't quite sticking to plan. And David. So do you want to read David? David's story is a member who's turned consultant. And that's interesting because I'm always intrigued, you know, how many male consultants. I'm intrigued to know, do male members prefer to go to a male consultant, or is it just about proximity? Or
I think undoubtedly there will be guys who will seek out a male consultant, like women who will seek out a female consultant. But I just think about where I am located and how many male consultants we've got. We've got a lot of male consultants, which is lovely. It really, really is, because when I joined Slimming World 21 years ago, that wasn't the case. So it's a really good thing to see.
So David here has put, you know, he sometimes thinks, like what you were saying about the stigma of slimming groups and the portrayal of them in the media that stops men joining initially. But the fact that he's been a member and is now a consultant, I suppose he understands the journey. And he says being a male consultant can help, because the way that they do their image therapy means they talk about body magic and the extra sins differently. I mean, that is the thing. The plan is slightly different for men in the sins allowance.
That's... Yeah, the only difference is the sin allowance. Yeah, totally.
And a lot of that depends on what your weight is too, because women who are bigger may have a different sins allowance. You have to ask your consultant.
Men will always get more, just because they have a different fat to muscle ratio and they need more calories. But yeah, everything else is just the same.
See, David says, I think sometimes men want a more clinical approach than a light and fluffy approach. Although he does admit, we love it just as much when we get a shiny and a certificate too. He said, our brains might be wired differently, but at the end of the day, we all want the same result.
Yeah, really do. I like what Ian says. Ian says that he ditched alcohol for 3 months to break the cycle. He joined up to support his mum, and he's lost 10 stone in a year. Learning to cook before he would be the type of person that would set a toast on fire. Oh my God, Ian, did we go to the same school of cookery? Watermelon and pickled onions are his favourite go-to snack. Is that together, Ian?
I did wonder that. I thought you might say that. It's like, what did you say? Ham and watermelon was like your go-to snack.
No, melon and ham, like melon wrapped in the ham. But I'm just thinking like, bomb a pickled onion, then follow it by a bit of watermelon. Like, Ian, please get in touch and let me know. This is going to keep me up at night. Yeah.
Okay, right. Well, we'll come back to some more of your notes from Ben, Richard and Paul. But let's just have a listen to Jason Jury. Jason is Slimming World's reigning champion of Man of the Year, Man of the Year 2020. And it's fair to say, Anna, that he like pulled over, didn't he, in his truck. And we definitely saw that he really is a trucker, because we connected with him on Zoom and we could see he was in his truck, right?
And we can hear a lot of truck. It felt raw, didn't it? It felt really trucky.
There are some times that you might hear a little bit of interference. So just forgive that. He was pulled over in a car park in Port Talbot to especially have a chat with us on his lunch break. And just to note as well that he often talks about someone called Claire, but it's not me. It's actually his consultant, which you might be thinking, hang on, is he talking about that Claire or another Claire? That's what it is. Unfortunately, she's spelt the same as me too. So, but we started the interview jumping really straight in the deep end, where he explained to us what life was like for him before he joined Slimming World.
Well, as far as work was concerned, that was the biggest struggle, really, because I'm what we call a tramper driver. So I'm away all week, and I was struggling with day-to-day tasks like the loading and unloading of trucks. And very often we required to help out with that. And I was struggling to get onto the backs of trailers, very often having to ask for either a stepladder or a forklift driver to lift me up on the forklift to get me on the back of the trailer. I always found that very embarrassing to have to ask, you know, and people would be milling around and watching and seeing that happening, and it would make me feel very self-conscious, you know. And I found as well that generally, not just in work, but as a whole, my health was beginning to suffer as well. A lot of breathlessness. I started to get some migraine headaches, which were caused by high blood pressure. And that was really the kickstart for me to get me through the door of Slimming Wheel, because I went to my doctor with that, and my doctor warned me that the migraines were being caused by the blood pressure, which was due to me being overweight. And if I didn't do something about it, I was heading for a heart attack. It was a real shock. And of course, I don't now and didn't feel then that my time was ready to go. So I thought, right, better do something about it. And that visit to the doctor was on a Tuesday. And the following Saturday, I walked into Claire's group.
Claire's your consultant, obviously. I'm just wondering, like, even before that point, because they say on average it takes guys 6 years before they actually do something about wanting to lose weight. Had you known before then, before that kind of point, there's something going on here? It's not quite right.
Yes. There were other things going on. I was suffering with joint pain as well, and lower back pain. And I obviously knew that I needed to lose weight. And I got myself into a position where I kept on promising myself that I'd start Monday. And then on the Monday, I would come up with a variety of excuses why I'd leave it till the following Monday. And of course, it never arrived. But it was finally really the health scare that that got me to do something about it. I've been feeling that way really for probably about 18 months, 2 years at least. And it wasn't just the visit to the doctor. There was just within about 2 weeks before that visit, I had a bit of an embarrassing incident on a plane. Where I hadn't flown for a few years, and got on the plane, and I couldn't get the seatbelt to fit me, and I was sat at the front, and I can still see the seat now because it was row 2B, and the stewardess came along and she said, on the top of her voice, "I'll get you an extension seatbelt, sir." I had to stand up while it was fitted. And then I found myself with 100 pairs of eyes looking at me, because just out of interest, you know, everybody wanted to see what was going on. And I just felt terrible. So that, with the health scare and the visit to the doctor, I just thought, right, I can't carry on like this, you know, and I've got to do something, and I've got to stop making the excuses. And I went for it.
Did you know why you got there in the first place at that point?
I started gaining weight in my early 30s, and I put on about 3 or 4 stones, and thought that I could keep that under control, you know, and not a problem. Then my father passed away very suddenly, and I was very close to my father, and my mother didn't take my father's health very well at all. And I suddenly found myself in a position where my family were looking to me really to take control of things, and underneath I was falling apart myself, you know. So but I couldn't show that at the time, because I had to stay strong for my mother, and my way of dealing with it was comfort eating. And my weight then just spiraled out of control. When I was over the passing of my father, my eating habits unfortunately remained the same, and I carried on putting on weight. It got to the point then where I stopped getting on the scales because I didn't like the number that I saw. My first week that I walked into Slimming World, my first weigh-in, I assumed that I was actually about 3 or 4 stones lighter than I actually was, because it had been several years at that point. When I saw the number on the scales, it just must have been my face, the look on my face, because Claire was immediately out of the chair, and she was incredibly reassuring. And she said, "Look, you set the target that you want, your dream target. You stick with me, and I'll make sure you get there." And it was just a very comforting moment. And to be fair, she has, and she did. So there you are.
It's knowing you're not alone in that moment, isn't it? It's really, really vital, because the courage it takes. I sat in outside 6 groups before I joined, because it was that fear of the scales, because it's like everything you've put off for the last 10 years is flashing in your face, isn't it? Had you tried other things or looked at other things before you decided to go to the world?
I'd never tried anything else, but when I got home from the visit to the doctor, I started Googling things, and I just Googled diets. Although I use that expression now very carefully, because of course we all know it's a weight loss journey and lifestyle change with Slimming World.
It's changed you well.
Yeah. But I looked at weight loss pills, which of course I was reading all the reviews and the bits and pieces, and they can be incredibly dangerous depending on where you get them from. I would only ever recommend something like that if it is prescribed by a doctor, your own GP. I looked at other forms of losing weight, but it was just this strap line that I saw pop up to do with Slimming World, where it said you never need to feel hungry. And my outlook was a typical male outlook at that point, and I'd always associated anything to do with weight loss as drinking lots of water, only eating salad, and constantly feeling hungry. And I just thought, well, I can't get my head around this. And even after my first session, when Claire gave me the initial member talk, I just thought, well, surely this, I'll give it a go and see if it works. Well, of course, my first weigh in then, I lost 8.5 pounds, and I just thought, well, it certainly does work because I haven't felt hungry all week. So I didn't. I never felt hungry once throughout.
That's incredible, isn't it? And I think what's really like interesting about your story is about your lifestyle of working on the road as well, like having to adapt, like you know that, Anna, don't you, when you kind of hear people who lifestyles are working long hours, night shifts.
I've met a lot of truck drivers in my time as a Slimming World consultant, and it is one of the toughest occupations in terms of your facilities, what you can get access to. I mean, that must have been a real change of habit and lifestyle eating choices that you've had to make and working.
Well, it was, yes. With the type of work that I do, and with me being away, our trucks are pretty well set up. We have fridges on board and microwaves and things like this. And myself, I carry a camping cooker as well. But because of the nature of the work and the hours that we work, it can, by the time we finish at the end of the day, it's very easy then to head to the burger van. Yeah, and go for the easy option rather than do it yourself, you know. But I knew that I had to make that change if I was going to get to where I wanted to be. And it was more breaking the habits of what I was doing before to begin with. And I started ordering various recipe books from my Slimming World class, and would take those with me and try different bits and pieces because I got the full saucepan set and everything in my truck.
Where did you do the washing up?
I got all those facilities as well. I got that's not an issue.
It's like a motorhome.
Yeah, I got my pool.
So literally, you could recreate kind of your kitchen setup in your truck. That's amazing.
Yeah, the only thing I don't have in my truck is an oven, but you can get ovens now as well. I would struggle to cook a roast Sunday lunch, you know. But just about anything else I can do, I completely self-contained, and I can do in the truck, no problem. It's just a bit of forward planning when I do my shopping in the supermarket on a Saturday, and then I make sure that I have my meals planned for the week ahead and can organise it all.
That has blown me away. For anyone out there who thinks they've got it tough, if Jason can cook his full supply of food from his truck, we've got no reason not to, have we? I love that. So what's your favourite kind of thing you've cooked in your camping stove? Have you got a favourite creation and a spot that you've sat to eat it?
My favourite meal that I do like to cook is the Slimming World chicken tikka masala. And I love having that, and I usually have it with green beans. But there's lots of other things as well, you know, and spaghetti bolognese and that type of thing. I do all that within the truck. And I found that I've switched my snacks as well, which for me, snack time was always chocolate and crisps. And I just immediately switched it for fruit, you know. And of course, there's such a wide variety of fruit. You don't need to have the same thing all the time.
Did I read that you have pickled things too? Do you have pickled onions?
Yes, yeah, no? Yeah. I tell you what I do like. I got a passion for jarred beetroot.
Oh, I do like a bit of beetroot. Yeah, yes, you can't go wrong.
Is it a bit messy, though? It's a bit messy in the truck.
No. I try to be careful.
Where's a bib? It's all good. So it was literally just swapping things out and just being prepared. Has that been a real key?
Yes, yeah. I was struggling a little bit at the beginning with the fresh food. It was actually a member of my Cinnamon World group who came up with the idea, had I thought about getting a delivery from a supermarket to my truck. So I got hold of a particular supermarket and I rang the customer service desk, explained what I was doing. And they said, well, yeah, we deliver everywhere else. You tell us where you are, because I explained I'm in an articulated lorry, so I can't get it in your car park. I'm within a mile of your store. Could you come to me? And they said, well, yeah. The first time I did it, the delivery driver actually drove straight past me. I had to jump out and I was chasing him down the road because he was looking for a house. Yes.
Give me apples.
And when he came back, he thought, he assumed I was looking for directions somewhere. And I said, well, no, you're delivering to me. And he was just absolutely amazed. So I did that for about 14 or 15 months. Once a fortnight, I'd have a delivery to the truck, usually on a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
Wow. Do you know what? That just shows where there is a will, there is a way. You've got to think outside the box when it comes to weight loss, haven't you, sometimes?
Yeah.
See, I've got to pick out one of the messages we got was from a guy called Nigel. And Nigel is a fellow truck driver, would you believe, who's also doing Slimming World. And he actually listens to the podcast when he's transporting, in his words, high sin food around the country. He has to carry 23 tons of clotted cream or cheese and has worked out, I don't know why he worked this out, but the cheese calculates at 800,000 healthy extra A portions. Anyway, he says about for him, you know, his mom was a Diamond member, and so one day he was giving her a lift and he's like, oh, actually, I'll give this a go. And he's lost 4 stone 9 pounds. He's working towards a new target with another 2 stone to go. And he was talking about the issues that he faced about these night shifts, traveling away a lot. One of the things he does is he has a heated lunchbox, lots of rice and pasta with low sin tinned curries. His hurdle, though, he says, is comfort eating, savoury snacks. And I say about the pickled thing, the jarred things, because his replacement is pickled onions, cucumbers and gherkins, which I was like, okay. But how do you kind of deal? Like, what is your hurdle? Is it comfort eating or is it something else?
No, my hurdle was comfort eating. Yeah, that was the biggest thing. And again, it was a lot of it was habit more than anything, and breaking the habit. And it took about 6 to 7 weeks, possibly 8 weeks, for the cravings to sort of go away. And not completely, but and of course, every time I walk past a chip shop or something like that, you know, the smell, you know, and it draws you to it. But I was so determined that I just didn't want to go back to where I was at the beginning, you know, and that was enough of a motivation for me to withhold and just keep on going with the plan.
Stefan is a construction worker and dropped us a message to say that sometimes he finds it difficult to work out what to eat when he's traveling for work. You know, he's doing like 8-day shifts and then he comes back home. So it's just kind of finding that way through, isn't it? There will always be an excuse, there will always be a challenge, but planning ahead for the inevitable bumps and being curious, I suppose, to see, well, how else can I approach this? I mean, he talked about like that the benefits of having a community backing you, and sometimes feels that there is a closed-mindedness for men or by men on what Slimming World is. What were your, I suppose, expectations of what Slimming World was going to be before you signed up?
I did assume that it was going to be all ladies that first week, and I found that I couldn't go in. I was so nervous. I drove away and sat in a lay-by only about a mile away, and then went back for the 12 o'clock session. And I was just so glad I did. When I went in, there were two other men there. Within moments of walking into the room, I just felt a lot more comfortable, because not only Claire, but all the other members were just so welcoming. And regardless of whether you had half a stone to lose or 20 stone to lose, everybody was there trying to achieve the same goal, and everybody was there to support one another and has supported me as I have supported others on their relative journeys. And of course, everybody has their own reason and different reason for doing it, you know, and it's a very personal thing. And Slimming World really opened my eyes, you know, to the connection that you can make with people in a particular group, you know.
Such a community, isn't it? And I don't think you realize that until you walk in. The spirit of it is something you can't always describe to people unless they're part of it or seen it.
Yeah, and a lot of the members now who are some of my closest friends, as Claire is, you know, I've had this conversation with Claire, you know, I don't think of Claire as no consultant member, I just think of Claire as a very close friend of mine. We socialise and do things together, and it's just sort of this community spirit way of thing, of looking at things, and everybody gets involved in it, and it's just good fun and a nice feeling.
Oh, I want to come to the group. It sounds lovely. And I'm not allowed to, but it's a bit far. But I was like, a great time.
See, if we look at some of like the stereotypes that I cast upon men, a lot of men will struggle in silence. Like I said there, the statistics say men are more likely to be overweight and obese. Men are less likely to speak up if they are worried about their weight. A lot of times men will go to exercise first, hoping that will cure all their issues rather than look at what they're actually eating. I mean, what advice do you have if there is a man listening, or actually anyone, a man, a woman, whoever listening, thinking, I'm afraid to make that first step. You know, I'm not quite sure where to get started with this, because it is an incredible achievement that you've done, Jason, like a phenomenal amount of weight, a whole lifestyle change. You're like, you know, you're blooming. You look absolutely dapper on your Slimming World video, which is on the website, gotta say. Like, and they may look at you and think, but I'll never be that. Like, what advice, you know, knowing who you were, where you were before, can you give to those people?
Everything that you've just mentioned, they were all of my thoughts beforehand. You know, would I, could I, should I, can I? That is where I think the role really of the consultant comes in, big style there, because I expressed my concerns to Claire, and Claire just was phenomenal, as I have seen other consultants in other groups being with their members as well. I felt very, very self-conscious about the way I looked before I joined Slimming World, and so desperately wanted to change it. And I didn't talk to anybody about it, you know. I didn't even talk to close family about the way I felt. As I mentioned, the with the health scare and the thing on the plane, it was those two things and the way I was feeling that sort of just made me think, you can get past this, and you've got to get past this mainly for my own sanity as well as my health, you know. And yes, it's as I saw then the weight coming off, apart from the members in my group and my mother, I didn't tell anybody that I'd actually joined Slimming World, mainly through fear of failure. And I didn't want to look foolish in front of people. And I was about 3.5 to 4 stones into my journey before somebody in work noticed. It was a mechanic, you know, one of our workshops. And all he said to me was, have you done something different? Because you look a bit different. And I didn't tell him. And I said, oh, no. And off I strolled. Well, when I got to about 5 to 5.5 stone, it was not that I was trying to hide it, but I couldn't really disguise the fact then that I was getting smaller. And then everybody sort of really began to notice. At that point, everybody was so encouraging, and I was having such lovely remarks made to me then, that it gives you that extra confidence boost then to think, well, hang on a minute, now I can see the light at the end of this tunnel, and yes, I can get there. And the fears that I had were now starting to fade away.
What did men say to you?
I've had a lot of interest off men with regards to it all. I find the most popular question that I get asked is, do I need to give up alcohol to lose weight? And that was in my thought as well. And I thought, dear me, we were a nation of alcoholics, but no, we're not. But as I try to explain, if you're quite a big drinker and you're sort of a Friday, Saturday, Sunday evening drinker, and then you're ordering all the takeaways in between, of course, you're not going to be able to carry on doing that and lose weight as well, you know, because it just won't work. However, it doesn't mean that you have to stop all of it. You know, all you need to do is just cut down. And of course, the takeaways you can replace with fakeaways, and then you can fit that into the plan with your sins.
Is that something you've done? Was alcohol a big change, or
not a huge change for me? I did cut down. I used to have a drink on a Friday evening when I got home from work. I did stop that completely, but I all the way through my journey, I still had a few drinks on a Saturday night, and still went out with friends. When I say that, I had actually stopped going out up until I started my journey because I was feeling so self-conscious about the way I looked. It was about 14 or 15 months into my journey when I started then socializing with members of the group who were saying, well, come out with us and come and have a good time. And it was then I started getting more of a social life back and enjoying myself, having a few drinks on a Saturday night. We'd go for a meal, we'd go into the pub, and just it was just good fun.
See, life now, like compared to when you're kind of hiding away, I mean, like, tell us, you've done another little trip on a plane a bit more recently. Talk about life now and that from that original story that you started with, the shame that you felt in that plane before.
Well, since then, yes, my recent trip, I didn't have a problem with the seatbelt, you know, and it was a silly little thing, you know, I kept it on for the whole of the flight because I was so pleased with myself. And while I was away on a holiday, walking one day, I spotted a sign for water skiing lessons, and I just thought, well, just on it, completely on impulse, I just walked in and said, can I just have one lesson, please? And 20 minutes later, I was bobbing about in the water. Previously, I hadn't even been in a hotel swimming pool for well in excess of 10 years because I wouldn't even take my t-shirt off next to a pool if there were anybody about, because I just felt so self-conscious about the way I looked, you know. So to suddenly be doing something like that, it's just been a complete, my life has just turned around completely, you know, it's chalk and cheese.
Oh, how inspiring. I want to go and like eat pickled onions and water ski now. Wait, but I don't think you probably realise the power of what you've achieved, how inspiring that is. Because Claire and I often talk about, you know, I've been on this journey a very long time. Claire is desperately trying to get to target, and we get stuck in our own minds and our own journey. And when you hear someone that has lost half their body weight come out with, you know what, I made spag bol in the back of my truck and I've got on a jet ski and I've done all those things, like, it makes you believe you can do that last bit as well. I love it.
Because, you see, I loved going out when I was younger, you know, as we all do, is no different to anybody in their late teens and early 20s. And I was very slim at that age. I was still living at home with my parents then. So my life revolved around really earning money to enjoy myself on the weekends, you know, as you do when you're young. But then when I started putting on weight, I still used to go out at the beginning, you know, but it just got less and less until eventually I was then found myself making excuses not to go out, you know, and for parties or weddings that I couldn't get out of. Once the service was over, you know, I would be then avoiding the camera because I hated having my photograph taken. And then I'd make my excuses to leave early. And when I look back at it now, it seems so silly, really, because I was living quite a reclusive lifestyle, you know. I'm not married. I live on my own. So apart from I go to work and then I'd go home and then I just sit at home on my own, you know. And apart from just nipping to the supermarket to do some shopping, I just wouldn't go anywhere. And I was like that for a few years.
And walking. You're a big fan of walking. I share this passion, but not just Brecon Beacons. You've got your eye cast even further afield now for where you're going to go walking, right?
Yes. That started really with the Body Magic. And I was about 3 or 4 months into my journey and started looking at the Body Magic Awards. Was so unfit at the time that I was just getting out of breath going up the stairs at home. So I started just walking around my local park and for 20 minutes at a time. And I picked that place mainly because for two reasons. First of all, it's flat, and secondly, there were plenty of benches for me to stop and have a sit down when I needed to.
Love a man.
And then, yeah. And then slowly to increase the distance, started looking for different places and more challenging places. Fortunately, I only live around about 45 minutes from the Brecon Beacons itself. In comparison to the 20 minutes around my local park, I'm now more than happy to sort of walk for 6, 7, 8 hours around the Brecon Beacons. I don't have an issue with it. And yes, I'm hoping next year to visit Everest Base Camp, do the 12-day trek through the Himalayas, spending 2 nights at the base camp and then trekking back. So, and I just can't wait.
Oh my God. Like, can you imagine if you could go back to the man that was being lifted into his truck by someone else on a forklift truck and be like, hang on, this is where you're at now. Like, would he be shocked? Would he be like, oh my gosh, you've done it? Like, does it seem real?
It doesn't seem real. I never would have believed it. I would have laughed, you know, and just, yeah, righto. There's just no way. When I think about it, you know, it's just been such a huge change for me. And everything has just improved, you know. That's the biggest thing, really, is my health has improved. All of the joint pain, lower back pain has just gone away. I don't have an issue with blood pressure anymore. That's smack on normal range. And, of course, the headaches are gone. Then, of course, there's the confidence side of it as well.
And now you're not just, like, man of your group for that year, are you? You are Slimming World's man of the year, well, 2020, but current crowned owner. That's what I was after. Yeah, I knew you'd have the right terminology when it came to a crown. But I mean, Jason, like, what was that like to be named, boom, Man of the Year 2020 for the whole Slimming World?
Absolutely fantastic. It was just, I just couldn't believe it. When Claire first told me that I was eligible, you know, I just thought, well, it was nice, yeah, and put my name forward. And then when I was shortlisted, I really didn't think for a second it would ever go any further than that. And I was over the moon with that, you know. And then I had a phone call then off Claire, who told me that I was the winner. And at that moment, I wasn't quite sure who was more excited. It was either myself or Claire, you know, because we were both jumping up and down and screaming and the rest of it. To think that it's for the UK as well, it's an incredibly good feeling. And it's a nice feeling to possibly feel that I can help others, you know, who were in my position when I started. The feelings of self-consciousness and possibly health problems and things like this, and how, as long as you put your mind to it, you can turn it around, you know. Even when you have your bad weeks, which we all have, take a day or two to get past that, put it behind you, and keep on moving forward, because I know you can do it, because I had the bad weeks, you know, as we all do. It is achievable. You can get in. Yes, it's been lovely to win this award.
Well, that was brilliant just to hear Jason's story. And I love that catchphrase, Anna, like, where there's a will, there's a way. Some words that were similar to that, weren't they? I wrote that down.
I've just got visions of him making chicken tikka masala in the back of his truck. You know, I just love, you know how we were talking at the beginning before we interviewed him about seeing it through other people's eyes, other people's journeys, like his passion, his ability just to sail through those obstacles that many of us would fall at, has just made me think, Anna, chop your blinking carrots.
But at the end, when he kind of said, look, we all have bad weeks, like, he, that's like a dude that's been crowned, like, Ultimate Man by Slimming World, and he's admitting to us about the shame, the guilt that he felt. He's talking about the bad weeks. Like, it's not just necessarily like a before and after picture.
No, but you know what I loved as well is that he kept remembering why. He kept remembering how he wanted his life to change and be better. And how astounding now the life he has got. It is just incredible. And you can see what was really passionate for him was that what group had given him. Like, he's got a whole new life because of group, a whole new set of friends. It's just awe-inspiring what the community was able to give him. And the fact that he eats shed loads. I love that.
Yeah, imagine if he Googled and then he had tried the weight loss pills. He wouldn't have got any of that. Like, that doesn't really solve the issue. Like, connection, humans, having your tribe. Like, you know, the fact that that member suggested, well, why don't you get the supermarket to deliver to your truck? Is like,
I mean,
that changed his life.
Game like, changer. Like, I've seen these random people on social media getting keep driving to nearby places where a restaurant won't deliver to, just like in a car park. I never thought a supermarket would deliver to a truck. Just brilliant. I'm going to channel my inner Jason, because those times when I go, I can't be bothered, I'm just going to think about Jason in the pouring rain in his cab with his set of saucepans making a spag bol. Anna, you can be bothered. But how incredible, like, if one man listens today and goes, I'm going to join group. Because of Jason, job done. And you know, to any men listening, I think a really good idea, if you would love to join and you're a bit fearful, is picking up the phone, ringing the consultant who you get the number of, and just having a chat first. Because as consultants, we are really experienced in dealing with people that are A, fearful, B, you know, don't know what to expect. So don't wait till the day where you're going to walk through the door or go through the Zoom or whatever. Ring them up so that you know who you're going to talk to, who you're going to meet. Like, break that ice before it happens. I wish I'd done that, because I would have felt a lot more confident. So,
see, yeah. Ben sent us a message and said that he's lost 2.5 stone during lockdown. He loves the plan and it would recommend it to anyone. What he would say, he gave us like a little bit of feedback, and this is something that actually I was thinking, I could see where this with the podcast. One thing I would say, being male friendly sometimes can be an afterthought, like say the magazine, great, there's a men's section, but it's at the back of the magazine. Can we kind of start to think about men throughout the entire magazine? Maybe a man and a woman cover every month, or alternating. Like, that's that. Interesting. And it makes me think, you know what, this is our pledge here to say that this is an episode made, you know, one for men, that we want guys to be a part of our podcast and the stories that we share and the questions that we answer every week, you know. So
totally. Talk to us, because then we can represent you, I think, you know, as two, you know, well, as a middle-aged woman on a weight loss journey, I represent what I am and what I see, and I think we need to see more men, so please come forward to us. I feel like I'm beckoning men into my life. You get what I mean? Like,
don't assume that someone else will send that message, that someone else will go for that award. You be the one that makes a difference. Say, look, Richard, he got a chance referral voucher from his doctor that led him to group. Despite having spine operations and a bad back for years, now he can run half marathon distances every weekend. He reached his target last year, and body magic was key for him at staying at target. He covered 1,500 miles of running, 26 half marathons last year. Wow. That in a year. Best thing that's happened, the wow factor. People at work, people in the street ask me, how did I do it? My bloke friends ask me, what's Slimming World like? What do you eat? I've always owned my journey, and sometimes that's meant being selfish for me and not without its challenges. I miss cider a lot, but I still have it. But I sometimes use gin as a substitute. My family are seeing the benefits. I am a healthier, happy me. I'm so glad that I did it. And then this one from Paul, okay? Paul also titled his email, I enjoy the titles that you put in emails. That's something you don't get to do on Instagram. You don't get to put a novelty subject title.
Does that draw you in? A good title, does that make you go, I'm going to open this?
Yes, it does.
I like a blank one. It makes me go, what's in this?
Well, Well, Paul's title said, "No tiddlers have been hurt in this email," which you'd have to listen to listeners' questions January 2021 to understand that slip of the tongue, which Anna mentioned in reading an email. But I think it was really cute. I feel like it's adorable.
Should we just move on?
So 2 years and 6 stone lighter and now Target. But his third time round at Slimming World. I find it really good when people admit it's not necessarily the first rodeo. It takes quite a lot of courage to admit that, really. He changed in work patterns, house move that disrupted the journey along the way. But he sent us like 5 tips for a man joining. Have you seen it? Yeah. So 1, back yourself to succeed.
We all need to do that. We all need to be our own cheerleader, don't we?
Yeah, I read this and I was like, this just needs to be Slimming World, like, mojo for everyone.
Yeah.
2, believe in the plan. It does work and it does fit into daily life. 3, trust your consultant. They're there to help. I think that's been one theme of this podcast, hasn't it? 4, weigh in every week, even if it's difficult. Don't try and hide or, you know, run away from it. And 5, as a man, remember that you have a star week up your sleeve if you need to use it. Now, I think you'd only get that if you were a group member and you're sick of hearing women blame bloody star week for like the reason they haven't lost weight. I thought that was hilarious. Like,
I have a member who was a member of mine for a long, long time, and he will fight you in court to say that men do have fluid fluctuation. He will tell you that, like, literally. Yeah. I love those tips and they're so brilliant.
And really practical.
Yes.
Really
and that's practical. What we need. Practical how. How am I going to do this? How am I going to absolutely get through this journey, whether you're a man or a woman? Like, what do I need to utilise? Who do I need to utilise?
Yeah. So that's a roundup for this particular podcast. And next week, we have a special guest, of which I don't know how we're going to contain ourselves, Anna, how we kind of express this, record this, how we're going to edit it. Do you want to announce who we've got on the podcast next week?
Are you going to let me?
Yeah.
Is it really?
She thinks I'm going to pull it. She thinks it's all just a dream.
I have been through FBI, CIA, MI5 clearance to get this. Next week, we have my spiritual beacon, the light of my life, the founder, the chairwoman, my absolute hair inspiration. You got it. Next week, Margaret Miles Bramwell is Zooming with me and Claire, and only 7 security guards are involved.
No, those security guards were harmed in the making of this episode. But yeah, Margaret Miles Bramwell, she's going back to basics of talking to us about the psychology, the ethos of how Slimming World started. And we've been reading her autobiography, which you can either get via your consultant. There's even like, it's on Kindle now. It's available as an audio book as well.
I didn't read, I listened. Yeah.
So you had Margaret soothing you just before bed,
just,
right?
She helped me drift off. Very reassuring,
it
is, Margaret.
So, come back for that next week where we meet Margaret Miles Bramwell and drop us a note, you know, some thoughts around the things we've been talking about today. Are you shocked about some of the stats that we shared? Are you a guy who previously thought, I'm just going to listen to this episode and then I'll decide if I want to email, then get in contact with us. Slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com, at Slimming World Podcast on Instagram. If you would like your comments to remain anonymous, just tell us and that's cool. So in the meantime, I guess it's time to enjoy our food. What are you going to have for tea tonight, Anna? As the music rolls up, well, tell us what's for tea tonight.
I am having a cottage pie made with chicken mince, topped with cauliflower cheese and potato, with seared green beans and asparagus.
No way. I think I've got like some sexy winter veg stew, which has got yellow split peas, which I do not know why, but I am loving those sexy yellow peas.
So
right
is
now.
It sexy because of the peas or there's sexy and you're having this?
No, it's oh, just yeah. Tastes just so good. And that's where the music ends.
Bye for now.